This is session number 39 of the Gospel according to John. We've been going through John chapter 5 and taking a look at Jesus healing the impotent man and then the confusion and conflict that results because of this healing taking place on the Sabbath day. We saw how this man got to a place where he probably had no faith and no hope left to be healed by the stirring or troubling of the water, which was a good thing, because once he got to that point, that's when Jesus Christ stepped in. And when Jesus Christ stepped in, he was not searching for this man's faith, he was not searching for his hope, he was searching for what his will was. Wilt thou be made whole, is what he asked the man. And the man didn't even really respond to Jesus' question correctly, just kind of started telling him his story and how there was really no hope for him and how everybody always jumped in front of him. But I think Jesus saw deep down into this man's heart that he still had a desire to be made whole. And Jesus looked right at him and saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. What power in the word of Christ, what power in the authority of Christ gives us the power and authority to do that which is impossible naturally, to do that which is impossible for any other man. Jesus Christ's word has that kind of power. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And then last time we took a look at the Jews who were on patrol. And they're not out spending time with the scattered flock. They're not out searching for the sheep that have been scattered and the lost sheep and binding them up and loving them and teaching them the ways of the Lord and nurturing them and praying for them. That's not what they're doing. No, they're just on patrol to make sure nobody is quote-unquote out of order. They've gotten to the point where they don't really care about the people anymore. They don't really care about their suffering. They just want to make sure that, quote-unquote, God's law is executed. And so when they find him, they immediately confront him. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Now what's interesting is this man does make mention that Jesus made him whole. That's a good thing. But one thing that the man forgot was that Jesus didn't just say, take up thy bed and walk. He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. This man, when confronted with some opposition, when confronted with some pressure, he's already forgetting a little bit of the words of Christ, forgetting the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And of course, they have no interest in the fact that this man was healed. They don't really care about this man. They're just wondering, why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath day? You must be a terrible lawbreaker. So then they question, who told you to take up your bed and walk? Again, no interest in the fact that he was healed. No interest in the fact that this man just had 38 years of misery and suffering and impotency come to an end miraculously because of the word and power of Christ. They have no interest in that. They just want to know, why are you walking around with your bed? What's the matter with you? Now, at this point, the man who was healed didn't even know who Jesus was. He didn't know his name. He knew nothing about him. Again, this man did not have faith in Christ. You do not need to have faith in Christ to be healed. Christ's word is beyond our faith. He can do against what we believe, or against or above what we can even hope for. Remember, he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So it's not based on what we can believe or what we can hope for. No, a lot of the work of Christ has to do with our will. What are we willing to receive? What are we willing to have? And because this man desired to be healed, Jesus healed him. It's one thing, though, that we will see for the most part, unless you become an enemy of God and eventually it's time for judgment and destruction, for the most part, God does not work against our will. He doesn't force himself on us. He does not force us to do his will. He works with our will. Obviously, his will is not necessarily the same as our will. In fact, it's definitely not the same as man's natural will. God's will is so much beyond and better. But he works with our will. He gave us free will, and he does not force himself upon us. Although God does have a will and does have plans that he will carry out, even if we decide to oppose him 100%, eventually his will overthrow our will. We'll see in the end that the will of God will prevail over all of the will of man. Believe me, you can bank on that. God's will prevail over the will of man. But then verse 14, we saw that afterward Jesus findeth them in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And we looked at this last time, but I just want to reiterate this. This is so important. Jesus is giving this man a chance to walk in the light. This is the grace of God. He's the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. And so here the true light of the world comes to this man and gives him a chance to walk in the light. He reveals that it's Jesus. Now all of a sudden the guy knows his name is Jesus. He doesn't know he's the Lord yet. He doesn't know he's the Christ yet, but he gives him a little bit more light. And look at what Jesus says. He says, Behold, thou art made whole. See that? Behold, pay attention. Focus on what I'm saying. Focus on what I just did for you. Don't focus on what the Jews are saying. Don't focus on what they're doing. Okay, he's giving him a chance. Look at light comes into the world, but now you got a choice. You're going to choose light or you're going to choose darkness. One of the keys is to find the light, to walk in the light. The light will come to you. You have to choose to focus on the light and start to ignore the darkness. Even when the darkness comes right in your face and tries to attack you, ignore it. Hold on to the light. Focus on the light. These Jews are going to try to spoil this man's life. Now, they're not intentionally trying to do this, but they're being used of the devil to try to ruin the rest of this man's life. This man's life has been ruined for 38 years. And now Jesus steps in, and by the power of his word and the power of his spirit, this man finally has new hope that he hasn't had for 38 years. He's got a possibility of a new life that was not available to him before Jesus Christ stepped in. And then these Jews come on patrol, and now they start roughing him around, and what's going on? What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this. Okay, so now he's got a choice. Am I going to follow and believe and focus on this man who's the first man who showed me any love and any kindness in the last 38 years? And not only the only man who showed me love and kindness, but the man who actually had the power to give me and do for me what nobody else could. Am I going to focus on that shining light and his word? Or am I going to let these guys who seem to be something, these guys who appear to have some power because they run church buildings, or back then they called them synagogue buildings, because they run the synagogues and they seem to have this religious authority and power, and these guys come to rough me up and what are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this. Whose word and whose work am I going to focus on? And Jesus comes and he says, Behold, man, focus on this. Thou art made whole. Don't lose track. Don't lose what I just did for you. Don't forget who just did this for you. Focus on this. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. See this? Christ tells the truth. Christ tells the truth. He doesn't just have an appearance of authority, an appearance of importance. No, he really does have authority and importance, which is why he has the power to bless, but he also has the confidence to look you in the eyes and tell you the truth. And he says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. He's not going to beat around the bush, but he's going to deal with the real problem here. So now this man's got a choice. What's he going to do? And we saw the man's response. The man departed, told the Jews that it was Jesus, which had made him whole. So it appears this man leaves the light. Instead of clinging to the light, following the light, it appears he leaves the light, offended by this word of holiness, this word of walking in purity, and he goes back to the Jews. He departs. Looks like he's going back to the darkness. Now, it appears this man's done. It appears he's shot. You can read the scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2. You can read the scripture in Hebrews chapter 6. But maybe there's a little ray of hope for him, because it says the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Doesn't say he says it was Jesus who told me to take up my bed and walk. He's still standing by that miracle that Christ did for him. And so maybe there's a little ray of hope for that guy. Don't know. We'll find out one day. However, today we come to verse 17 and 18. And this is Jesus responding to the angry, murderous Jews. And here's what Jesus Christ says. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now this is powerful, and this is packed. Let's look at this. Here Jesus establishes himself as a higher authority than the Sabbath day or the law. This is something, okay? This is something. Let's just go through this. He says, my, that's so personal. My, that's singular. That's possessive, belonging to me. My Father. He is the only begotten Son, by the way. And no one else ever called God my Father. Some people call God our Father. For the most part, God was not referred to as Father up till this point, up till when Jesus Christ showed up. But every once in a while, people would speak on behalf of the nation of Israel, say, God, you're our Father. You're the one who took us out of Egypt, you know. But Jesus says, my Father. And he says, my Father worketh hitherto. Okay, we want to understand something. God is not subject to the law that he gave. The law that God gave is made for man. The law is not made for God. He is not subject to that law. Now, God is subject to his word in the sense that if he gives a word, if he gives a promise, if he makes a covenant, he's got to do good by that. And he will do good by it because he's a God of truth. There's no iniquity in him. But the law that God made for man, he's not subject to that law. The only part he's subject is to do his part. But when he told man, you work for 6 days, rest on the seventh day, that doesn't apply to God. God doesn't rest on Sabbath days. God works. He works hitherto. He's been working consistently. He's been working constantly up to that point in time. And I would say up until this present day, he's been working consistently and constantly. Isaiah 43 verse 24 says, thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Genesis 6 verse 3, when man's wickedness was great, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Okay, God has been working overtime because of man's disobedience, because of man's sinfulness, because man keeps choosing darkness instead of light. God's got a lot of work to do on this earth. And he doesn't rest on the Sabbath days. Jesus says, my Father worketh hitherto. Now watch this. He doesn't just say, my Father worketh hitherto, period. That'd be a powerful enough statement to call himself as, to call God his Father personally. But watch this. My Father worketh hitherto and. And. Okay, when you say and, we're going along the same line as the previous statement. He says, and I work. Christ is putting himself in the same category, the same level, the same class as God himself. Wow. In the other Gospels, at first, it shows Jesus defending his actions proving that he's not really breaking the Sabbath day. He uses reasoning to justify his position. So he'll use reasoning like, well, you guys circumcise on the Sabbath day, so is it wrong that I heal somebody? He says, you guys will loose your animals, lead them to eat, lead them to drink on the Sabbath day. Is it wrong that I loosed this daughter of Abraham from her bond? You know, you guys will pull your animal up out of a pit on the Sabbath day, and you won't think twice about it. Is it really wrong that I helped a man, healed a man on the Sabbath day? So Jesus uses sound reasoning in the other Gospels to expose the Pharisees' hypocrisy. But here in Jerusalem, he doesn't use any reasoning to justify his deed. He doesn't make any attempt to justify it. He doesn't use a Sabbath perspective here to justify it. He just plainly declares that his Father works, and so does he. In this gospel, he just straight up puts himself on a completely different level, a different plateau than them, and he's right alongside the Father, and his Father is way above the Sabbath and the law. Now, yes, in the other gospels, does talk about how he is Lord also of the Sabbath. But again, even in there, he's reasoning with them. And here, there's no reasoning, just straight up. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So verse 18, you better believe this infuriates the Jews even more. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So therefore, based on verse 17, the Jews sought. It's interesting. What were the Jews seeking for? Were they seeking for life, hope, truth, liberty, grace? No, the Jews sought the more to kill him. They sought the more. They didn't just seek. They sought the more. So this is something they're really pressing for. What are they pressing for? They want to kill him. Murderous. Romans 3:15 says their feet are swift to shed blood. Acts 7:52 says that they were the murderers. Betrayers and murderers of the just one. The just one. Come on. There's something messed up with you. If not only do you not want the light, but you want to kill and put out the light. So why were they so murderous? Why were they so hateful? Because, okay? So this is, of course, they have a reason. They have a just cause. This is their cause. Because he not only broke the Sabbath, again, in their eyes, I think they should have laid James 4:11-12 to heart. Now, I know it hadn't been written yet, but that wisdom would have been good for them. Because not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. Now, here's the reality. Only the Messiah could lay such a claim to himself. You read Psalm chapter 2, the anointed one, that's the Christ. That's the Son of God himself. And they knew this. They understood this. When he said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work, they understood. He's saying he's the Messiah. He's saying he's the Son of God. He's saying he's above the law on the Sabbath. And in their eyes, he was not qualified. He's just a carpenter from Nazareth. He's a nobody. No way he's qualified for this. And this statement, made himself equal with God. They understood it. That the Father was going to give all authority and power to the Son. Read it in Psalm chapter 2. Everybody on the earth is going to have to bow to the Son and kiss the Son and trust in the Son, or else they'll be smashed with a rod of iron. And they couldn't take it, because that means he's a higher authority than they are. And that really makes religious leaders mad. But guess what? Philippians chapter 2 in a King James Bible tells us the truth in verse 6, that Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But praise God! That even though he was equal to God, Philippians 2:7 says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So here they're looking at this nobody carpenter from Nazareth, and going, there's no way this guy could be the Son of God. But that's exactly who he was. And the one that they hated and wanted to destroy was the one that humbled himself to that nobody level carpenter from Nazareth. He humbled himself to that level so that he could take their sins, so he could lay down his life even for them, even for his enemies. Because Jesus Christ commanded us to love our enemies just like our Father, which is in heaven. That's John chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Amen and amen.